Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Tuesday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. It is the middle of February, well, basically the middle of February, and we are deep into hoop seasons. We've got a lot to break down today. But Eric McLean, happy day after the Super Bowl. How's it going?
It is going great. And speaking of the Super Bowl, we saw so many people and what you guys were cooking. That was fun to send over to us on Twitter. You guys had some really awesome stuff fired up there. Sadly, I was traveling. I was on the road, so I did not get a fire up my Traeger. But if I did, I can promise you guys it would have been something wild. And speaking of Traeger, they are the only wood-fired outdoor grill that smokes, grills, barbecues, and even bakes. Listen, I used to think that different grills were good for different things, but Traeger does it all, and they do it all better. That's why Traeger is the official grill of Gramlich and McLean. And the fact is, nothing beats the flavor of food cooked over pure wood fire. There are endless possibilities on your Traeger, and it's so easy to use, Kelly. I promise, I feel like a barbecue pro each and every time I do it. Guys, do yourself a favor. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. And once you've browsed around their site and you've selected the pellet grill of your dreams, use our code ACCSports for free shipping on your entire order.
Free shipping, that's a huge deal, y'all. And Mac, I know I didn't cook these on a Traeger, but I did cook some buffalo chicken wings in the crock pot for the Super Bowl. What did you think? I sent you a pic. I was trying to get your approval, which means so much to me when it comes to cooking.
I digged it. And the only reason I could have given you better than a 10 is if I tasted, but they looked fantastic. And I know Nick was very happy with those wings.
He was. I swear, Mac, he had a big plate of them. I had my celery. He didn't really bother with the celery. And I was looking down, I was eating some, and I just looked over and all of his were gone.
There you go.
They just disappeared. It's like, Nick, what in the world?
All right, I actually have a serious question for you here. Two questions back to back, rapid fire. Don't think about it, just answer. Ranch or blue cheese?
Ranch.
Wing or flats or drums?
Flats, I think. I learned what they were called.
All right, you passed the test. That was it.
I learned what they were called. I was like, Nick, wait, what is that one called? I like the flatter ones.
That's perfect.
They're called the flats.
Exactly.
That makes sense, right?
Which is hilarious because Khaki also likes flats. I don't know. I mean, I do too, but there is this line of who likes flats and who likes drums. It's
interesting. So what do you prefer?
I'm ranch and flats for sure.
Oh, Mac.
Yeah. So look, we should do a podcast together.
That's why it works. I don't trust blue cheese people, to be honest. If you're blue cheese people out there, we love that you're listening, but just to be very clear, I don't trust you.
Yeah, you're a little different.
I do not trust you. Mac, before we get into our recap of a crazy week in ACC hoops, a very crazy week on the women's side, we had some very highly ranked teams lose. We will have Coach Seth Greenberg joining us this week. We are hyped. He is awesome. You've seen him on all of ESPN and ACC Network's coverage of ACC hoops and hoops nationally. He's on College Game Day. He's a big deal. So
huge,
we're very
deal.
Excited to get him.
Bald man on campus, not on campus. I can't wait to talk to Coach. I had the privilege of meeting him and speaking with him a couple of different times when we were on campus last year. So I can't wait to get him on here. I know he's going to really bring it.
He is going to bring it. And he's a guy that can touch on every single team in this league and help us make a little sense of the men's side. I'm going to help us make some sense of the women's side tonight because it truly was. We always say, oh, it was a crazy week. No, this week was pretty bonkers, especially really on both sides of the league, Mac.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So let's kind of dive in and recap. Let's start with some net rankings, Kelly, because there is so much parity on both sides, maybe more the women than the men. But when you look at it, it's nuts. And there are so many bubble teams, guys, is why we want to use net rankings this week. Louisville at 6, NC State at 10, Georgia Tech at 25, Virginia Tech at 33, Syracuse 36, UNC 40, Wake Forest 43, Notre Dame 52, Clemson 54, FSU 56, Boston College 70, Miami 72. I don't know if you guys were keeping track, but that was like 100 ACC women's teams in the top 75. Kelly, why is that so important?
It's a huge deal. So we know that two women's teams have opted out. So we have 13 teams playing this year. 12 of the 13 teams that are playing are in the top 75 of the net, which means basically every road game in the ACC is a quad one win.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy. And that's really impressive. And you have, we have, you know, three or really four teams, I would say, at the top in Louisville, NC State, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, that I think are for sure locks in the NCAA tournament. Everyone else is virtually on the bubble. I mean, this league is so bubblicious. It's unbelievable. But it makes it fun. It's stressful if you're a fan or if you're these coaches, because every game matters. But it's really fun to cover because, you know, Wake Forest gets a big win over Georgia Tech. Suddenly they're back, I think, back in the field. We'll see what Charlie Cream says. I think they're a tournament team. But every game matters, and not just for your own team, but for a team like Notre Dame. Seeing Wake win and you lose, that's big for Notre Dame as well. It's just every game is going to be very important down the stretch.
Yeah, there's no question about it. All right, let's dive into some actual hoops being played. Again, we're on the women's side right now. I'm going to lead you here, and then you kind of just take off with it. Louisville and NC State both lose.
Oh,
number
man.
One and number two at one point in this, you know, rankings for the AP poll. Obviously, NC State beat Louisville, and then NC State loses. A team that you and I and LaChina Robinson and a bunch of other people said, they're number one, and then they lose and kind of just embarrass all of us. What should we come to make of it? Is it just that type of year where you can lose any night?
Well, I got some tweets yesterday. I called the North Carolina NC State game, which was a great game. If you missed it, it was on ACC Network. It was excellent. And we did a lot of stuff coming into that game saying, oh, this could be an upset alert, because North Carolina, the past 2 years, has won at least one game against NC State. An unranked North Carolina team has beat a ranked NC State team the last 2 years. Well, they made it a third year. They did it again. That's no longer a fluke. That is a pattern that North Carolina just has its way with NC State at times, even very good NC State teams. I thought State looked a little sluggish. I thought they looked like they hadn't played since Monday, whereas North Carolina had. But I want to give all the credit to UNC. One reason why UNC has had success against NC State is because Janelle Bailey inside does a good job against Elisa Kunane. She's physical with her. She's older than her. She's more experienced. That's rare. Kunane is rarely playing a player that can be that physical but also has more experience. And Kunane fouled out. Janelle Bailey did her job. Kunane fouled out with about 2 minutes to go, I believe, in the game. But she didn't play much in the third and fourth quarter because she was in foul trouble. And Janelle Bailey got two fouls early, but then she stayed strong and didn't foul out. So that was a huge difference. And then Alyssa Usby for North Carolina. She is a freshman. She was unranked, Mac. So this UNC recruiting class was really good. They had three top 100 players. Usby was not one of them. And she's taken that personally. She went 4 for 4 from the three-point line. She had 13 points and 9 rebounds in the first half.
Light it up.
She was excellent. And it was a huge win for North Carolina. Again, all these teams are on the bubble. So if you can get that signature win over NC State, then it really propels you and your resume. And this was a huge win for North Carolina and their tournament chances.
And that's what it's going to take. Again, when you have so many teams, as we just mentioned, on the bubble and right there looking for something, if you can get a huge win over a team that was number four that a lot of people thought was going to be number one in the AP poll soon, you can do that and you can have a strong case. How about Dana Evans from Louisville? I know obviously they lost to NC State. She put up 29 that game, but she has just continued to dominate at a very high level.
She's insane. Okay. I think she should be the national player of the year at this point. I know we have some other players that are looking very good for teams that are also in the top five. Aaliyah Boston is one for South Carolina, but she does so much for her team. And if she doesn't score, her team is just not going to win. 29, 23, and 27. Those were her stat lines this week. She knocked down 12 threes in three games. She missed one free throw. I think she was 13 of 14 from the free throw line, made a huge shot against Notre Dame. She has that clutch gene, and she's putting up numbers at a ridiculous rate. I even saw Skylar Diggins, former Notre Dame point guard, she tweeted out, and this is a Notre Dame player talking about a Louisville player in a positive light, which is rare. She tweeted out that Dana Evans should be the national player of the year.
I love it. So you've got Kelly's vote. You've got a superstars vote from Notre Dame and in the WNBA. So there you go. You've got two very prominent people. Before we move on to the men's side, let's talk about Georgia Tech. I think they are the third best team in the ACC. I think they kind of solidified that this week. They did have a disappointing loss on Sunday to Wake Forest, but it was a tough week for them overall. What do you see as kind of their ceiling? Are they going to make some noise? Are they just kind of hum-ho right there at three? What do you think from those guys?
They can make some noise, and I'm keeping an eye on that Georgia Tech-Louisville game this week. We're going to talk about it in our Big Three. Georgia Tech is a very experienced team. LaChyna Robinson told us that. They have a bunch of seniors who know what they're doing, and they rebound the ball incredibly well. That is the key for them. One of Louisville's main weaknesses is rebounding. Georgia Tech's biggest strength is rebounding. So I see that game on Thursday as being close. If Georgia Tech can get that win, it would be massive for their resume. I think it could propel them to a 3 or 4 seed. Right now, I see them as probably a 5 seed, but I agree with you, Mac. They're the third best team in the ACC. They had to play 3 games this week, 3 games in 5 days, and I think they just ran out of gas against Wake Forest on Sunday. But I still think they should be ranked when the AP poll comes out, and I think what Nell Fortner's done at Georgia Tech has been really impressive.
It is. And again, I'm with you. I think they can make some noise. I'm excited to see them play Louisville this week. Let's transition over to the men's side. Again, we're going to start with some net rankings because so many bubble teams, and when you look at it, that's what it comes down to, is these quad one wins. Where are you kind of in these net rankings, and how far can you go? Virginia, number 6. Florida State, 22, which I think is a little bit low. Louisville, 34. Clemson, 46. UNC, 50. Syracuse, the infamous bubble team of Syracuse, at 54. Georgia Tech, 62. Duke at 71. Notre Dame, a little bit surprising, at 72. And then Pitt at 75. Again, just reemphasize, Kelly, for folks, why it's important to kind of be in that top 75. What do quad one wins mean when it comes tournament time?
So we're doing this new version of the RPI, which is the net ranking, and it takes into account your home and away. It takes into account where the game is played. So a quad one win for a team against a team ranked 1 through 30, that you would have to get that win at home. So a home game against a team ranked 1 through 30 is quad one. Neutral site against a team ranked 1 through 50 is quad one. And then on the road, if you beat a team ranked 1 through 75, that's a quad one win. So even though Duke looks rough right now, a win at Duke is a quad one win. It is. So if Notre Dame can get that win over Duke this week, that'd be a quad one win for them. So we have a lot of teams in the top 75 on the men's and women's side. I put top 75 because that's what a quad one win is on the road. But really, to feel good about your tournament chances, you kind of need to be in that top 50. And there's less of these men's teams in the top 50. So a lot of teams still have some work to do. We have bubble teams on the women's side that I feel good about, and we have more bubble teams on the men's side that I don't feel good about. That's kind of where I am right now, Mac.
I understand. Let's move to on the court. Obviously, a massive game that happened this weekend, Duke-UNC. This, to me, Kelly, was really the first game this season where I was watching. I was like, this is weird.
Yeah.
This does not feel right, which is strange because I've watched a ton of college basketball, but that game just felt so strange. They're at Cameron. I just have this giant fat head of the fans. It was quiet. And you know, I've noticed this on a couple of ESPN games, but the announcers were much louder than the game. I just didn't like the vibe. It was very weird. It was a great game, and it finished out, you know, with drama and fun things, but it was just weird.
Mac, you hit the nail on the head. I think this college basketball season has been a little less exciting for some because you don't have fans. And that's one of the things that we love about college sports, both football and basketball, is the passion of the fans to see the students, to see the crazies, to see the court storming and all that. And so it just doesn't feel the same. And in some ways, when we're watching these games, they don't feel as important. They almost look like a glorified scrimmage because there's no fans there. So that was very weird with Duke-UNC. I agree, Mac. But it still was a fun game.
It was.
And you still had an exciting finish because Duke-UNC, it always delivers. And how about Caleb Love for North Carolina? This was the breakout game that we were waiting for from Caleb Love. 25 points, 9 of 16 from the field, 7 assists. That dude was ridiculous, and Duke had no answer for him.
He was playing out of his mind, and actually I saw this on Twitter, so I don't know how true it is or you know, validating my sources here, but apparently Caleb wanted to go to Duke.
I saw that too.
And the fact that they said, nah, we're good. And so then he now commits to UNC and then goes crazy and gets a big dub. That's a lot of fun.
That is cool.
And when you're able to do that, it's really cool to see that. Let's talk about the Tigers a little bit, because they, you know, it just was on a terrible streak and playing really bad basketball after having a tremendous start. And a lot of people thinking this would be the best basketball season Clemson's maybe even ever had. And then the skid happens. Now they look to be a little bit back to that November style of play where they're playing unbelievable defense. They're shooting the ball very, very well. What are you seeing from the Tigers?
This was a great bounce back week for Clemson that people aren't necessarily talking about, because it's more interesting when a team is ranked and gets blown out than when a team is unranked but handles their business. And that's what they did. They beat North Carolina. They held North Carolina to what it felt like was 0 points. North Carolina just, they couldn't make free throws. They couldn't shoot the ball. And then they blew out Syracuse, embarrassed Syracuse, really gave Syracuse a taste of what they've been feeling on national TV. So that was huge for Clemson. Two very big wins. I don't think they're going to be ranked this week or anything, but I think we're at a point where I can feel very confident. As long as Clemson handles its business and just wins the games it's supposed to win down the stretch, the Tigers will be in the NCAA tournament for the second time in 3 years. That's a big deal at Clemson.
It's a basketball school. It's a basketball school.
I don't know about that, Matt. I don't know about that.
What can I tell you? All right, let's wrap up the men's side with Virginia Tech and Virginia. What have you seen from them this past week?
Virginia Tech, they went to Pitt and lost, and that was really puzzling and disappointing. Keve Aluma had 30 points, but the shooters just couldn't get it done around him. But then they go to Miami, and they escape. Hunter Couture hits one of the shots of the year, a crazy three to force overtime, and then they win. And Virginia, ugh, Mac, I feel like when I talk about Virginia, I just have to yawn. Oh, gotta yawn. Because they just get the job done. You know, they're boring. They win 64 to 57 or whatever, but they went 2-0 again. And they have some big games this week, but Virginia continues to look like the most consistent team in the ACC.
Yeah, and you know what? That's not boring, Kelly. Consistency
is not boring.
Winning is not boring. I'm going with our great friend John Rothstein, who says Virginia basketball, a thing of beauty. I love watching Virginia play. I think they're very fundamentally sound. They're solid. They're shooting the ball really well. Sam Hauser's playing extremely well. It's been fun to see him. So I'm going against you here, which is very rare. I do not think you're boring, Virginia. I appreciate watching
Mac
you.
Loves you, Virginia. That's
right. Kelly, get us to our big three breakdown brought to you by our friends over at Sunshine Beverages.
Mac, it is the start of a new week. All right. I know you're busy.
That's right.
I know our listeners are busy. They're on the go. They want an easy, delicious boost, but they don't want to overload on caffeine and have those jitters and all that. So they want Sunshine. Sunshine has the delicious energy flavors plus essential electrolytes, minerals, and vitamins to keep you feeling your best. And the best part, Sunshine only has 70 milligrams of caffeine sourced from organic green coffee beans. That's no more caffeine than a cup of coffee. Check out their energy waters, 0 grams of sugar, zero calories, and great flavors like pomegranate acai, lotus pear, and citrus lime. So forget about the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com. Use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order.
Come on, Kelly Graham. Like, I had some of that coming over here today.
I can tell,
man. Recorded.
You're
ready to roll. I'm jacked up. I'm excited, and I'm ready to roll. You guys also don't forget to go vote in our Sunshine poll question of the week. You'll see that on Twitter. We'll keep that up for a couple of different days. I'll be retweeting that and make sure it's fresh on your timeline. So be sure to participate in that. And then tell us why. And if you don't like any of our answers, tell us why we're crazy and what the right answer is. All right, KG, let's get to the big three breakdown brought to you by our friends over at Sunshine. And let's start with North Carolina at Virginia, a Saturday night game, 6 p.m. on ESPN.
As we have discussed on this pod, and many are discussing, North Carolina is squarely on the bubble. That Clemson loss hurt them. The Duke loss did help them. Like I said, that's currently a quad one win, which is kind of crazy. You wouldn't think that Duke would be a quad one win, but winning at Duke because in the top 75, it is. So North Carolina needs every win, and this would be their best win of the season. There's no doubt. At Virginia, that's the kind of win that you need to help your resume. To me, this game comes down to North Carolina's bigs versus Virginia's bigs. Can Jay Huff and Sam Hauser, and even Trey Murphy a little bit, rebound with Baycott, Brooks, and Sharp, the big monsters inside for North Carolina? Virginia is not a very big offensive rebounding team. They don't get a lot of second chance points. And I think that was their issue down the stretch against Virginia Tech, is they were missing shots and they weren't getting second chances. So if North Carolina is dominating the offensive glass, can Virginia make enough shots to win the game? And then my next question in this game is, how for real is Caleb Love? Was that 25-point superstar outing for Caleb Love against Duke, was that for real? Or was that just a crazy game in which he played well? Can Caleb Love bring it? Because Kihei Clark has really not been great the last couple of games. And so that could be an advantage for North Carolina. And then adding on to that, Mac, UVA has looked a little sleepy this past week. I'm not sure if they've looked sleepy or their style of plays put me to sleep. I don't know which one it is, but they got two wins. We know how consistent they are. Sam Hauser is playing really, really well. And Virginia just generally plays better at home. So my pick in this game is Virginia, but I could see North Carolina making this game uncomfortable, especially if Caleb Love wins that point guard battle with Kihei Clark.
I love it. And really the 2 points that you made there early, I'm very excited to see the matchup between the bigs. I think North Carolina a little bit deeper there. They yes. can rotate. They really have four guys that I feel confident about rolling in there and banging with. Jay Huff, though, he's a difference maker. And then, of course, seeing our boy Caleb Love. Was that a flash of lightning in a bottle? Or, you know, is he going to be the guy moving forward, where that was kind of confidence that he needed, the game that he needed to say, hey, look, I'm a bona fide superstar. So that'll be fun to see. Let's move on to a game that I'm very interested in for obvious reasons, but Georgia Tech at Clemson Friday on ACC Network. Listen, the last time these two teams played, it was bad for Clemson. And I think that they're going to remember that. I think that they're playing very well right now. I'm excited to see what Clemson is going to do in this game. And, of course, Georgia Tech as well. I think this is going to be a very undervalued national media game that you know has some real impact in the ACC.
I agree, Mac. And let's not forget that Georgia Tech and Clemson played on January 20th. Back in Atlanta, Georgia Tech shot the lights out, 16 of 27 from three. Oh my gosh, DeVoe, Usher, and Moses Wright combined for 64 points in that game. And Clemson just turned the ball over, more turnovers than a bakery, Mac. I mean, good grief, they were giving the ball away. So another thing to keep in mind, though, is that Georgia Tech, they're playing Virginia on Wednesday. And then they're coming to Clemson. So they have one day to prepare, whereas Clemson has the whole week to prepare. I think that's a huge advantage at this point in the season for Clemson. Let's see if they can take advantage of that opportunity and get some revenge against Georgia Tech. The Yellow Jackets have been a team that have some very interesting home road splits. They're not that great on the road. They're excellent at home. They beat Florida State at home. They've looked really good at home, but on the road, not as much. So that's a big difference for them. And then Clemson has been starting Nick Honor instead of Alamir Dawes. Alamir Dawes had some bad turnovers against Georgia Tech. I honestly wondered why Coach Brownell left him in that long in the beginning against Georgia Tech. I think Nick Honor has, he's done a good job of taking care of the ball, but he's more of a shooting threat. So he's spaced the floor better for them. So I like that Honor is starting and bringing Dawes off the bench. I think that's going to be a big difference maker in this game compared to the first one, because we know the head of the snake for Georgia Tech is Alvarado. And so if you can counter him with some scoring yourself from the point guard position, I think that's going to be big. But Clemson has to take care of the ball against this Georgia Tech three-quarter court press. To me, that's the biggest factor for the Tigers.
And the interesting thing, again, is what you just said with kind of the weird kind of Jekyll and Hyde splits there for Georgia Tech versus
home. And same with Clemson.
Yeah.
You could argue that. Clemson's so much better at home.
In a year where there are very limited, if no fans, it's strange to see that. But I would be interested to deep dive into it of they play a team at home like a Florida State, play really well, get a dub, and then have to immediately travel after you put all that energy into that type of game. So it'll be interesting seeing Georgia Tech play Virginia and then Clemson, two very good defensive teams back-to-back, how that will work out for Georgia Tech. All right, let's move to the women's side, but we're going to keep talking about Georgia Tech. They're going to Louisville Thursday, 7 p.m., ACC Network Extra. Kelly, is there a chance that these Georgia Tech women are going to get a massive upset against Louisville?
There is a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Okay.
There is a chance. And I have to give some credit here to my wonderful ACC network partner in Monica McNutt, because she's been calling this one. She thinks Georgia Tech has a very good chance to upset Louisville. It is tough for me to bet against Dana Evans. You know how I feel about Dana. Dana is the queen. She's been doing queen things this year. She's playing like a queen. She's balling out. But Georgia Tech can rebound the basketball. They have Kubai and Hermosa inside, and they clean the glass. And Louisville, if they have one weakness, as I mentioned before, it is rebounding. So if Georgia Tech can really just dominate the glass, and if Louisville doesn't get as much help around Dana Evans, which has been the case recently, it's really kind of been Dana or bust for the Cardinals, then I do think Georgia Tech has a chance. They have to make some shots on the other end. Lodemai Lawton has to play well. I'm still taking Louisville in this one, Mac, but this is a game you have to watch, because upsets have been happening in the ACC on both the men's and women's side. And I think that Louisville needs to be on upset alert for this one. This would be really big for Tech, too.
That's right. Well, guys, that was the Big Three breakdown brought to you by our great friends over at Sunshine Beverages. Make sure that you go and vote in the Sunshine poll, the question of the week. You'll see it on Twitter, as I mentioned. All right, Kelly, it's time for the speed round.
Speed round.
And we're going to start on the men's side, looking at Notre Dame at Duke tonight, ACC Network. Listen, we've seen some up and down from Duke. We saw them blow out the Tigers. We saw them look unconvincing against North Carolina. What do you think that we're going to see from this game where they're playing Notre Dame?
Mac, I think that we are in a very uncomfortable place with Duke. And if you're a Duke fan, you're really uncomfortable. I think we are in that risky zone where these guys might kind of throw in the towel, because Duke is just, they're not making the NCAA tournament. I don't think they are. You've got a lot of young players. What exactly do they have to play for? You're playing in a pandemic. We're in that danger zone, I think, if you're Duke. And then for Notre Dame, Notre Dame's been playing well as of late. They've won two of their last three. They shoot a lot of threes. They're a jump shooting team. If they can get comfortable in the gym like North Carolina did, this could be a brutal loss for Duke. And Duke has to guard the three-point line better. They did not do a good job of that against North Carolina. Matthew Hurt has to show up. He had 7 points against North Carolina. He was in foul trouble. And then Nate Leshefsky for Notre Dame. He's coming off a 27-point performance in their past game. He is must-watch TV. He reminds me of Matthew Hurt. Seven-footers that can shoot the ball. Very skilled. So keep an eye on him in this game.
Come on. I love it. Let's move on to Virginia at Georgia Tech. That'll be Wednesday, 7 p.m. on RSN. What's the key for Virginia going against this, you know, kind of high-powered Georgia Tech team? But, you know, Virginia's defense, they kind of take that all away.
I think the key is you have to slow down one or two of those starters for Tech. Now, Tech only plays seven players, so that's something that I don't think is that big of an issue against Virginia, because Virginia doesn't really want to run. But if DeVoe, if Alvarado both get going, if Usher gets going as well, then does Virginia have enough offensive firepower to counter them? This game was very close back in Charlottesville on January 23rd. Virginia 64, Georgia Tech 62. Kihei Clark, I've been a little hard on him, Mac, on this pod, but I think he needs to play better. You know, I think Jose Alvarado got the better of him last time. He struggled the past couple of games. I know he's a great passer. He needs to be a little more of a scoring threat, because when you contrast him with Alvarado, that's going to be a lot of points they're giving up in that matchup. But on the flip side, Georgia Tech doesn't really have anyone that can match up with 7 foot Jay Huff or Sam Hauser on the wing. So Georgia Tech, as we've said, they play really well at home. But is Georgia Tech really going to beat Florida State and Virginia both at home this year? I guess we'll have to see, Mac.
Do you believe in miracles, people? That is what we're asking right now. Kelly, let's move over to the women's side. Clemson at NC State, Thursday, 4 p.m. Listen, NC State just lost. I am kind of feeling bad for Clemson in this game.
It's not where you want to be if you're Clemson. You don't want to get NC State off of a loss. You don't want to get one of these really great teams coming off a loss. I feel like practices this week for Westmore are going to be intense, to say the least. And, you know, this would be a huge win for Clemson's NCAA tournament chances. But, again, Do you want to get NC State coming off a loss? The answer is no. The key for the Tigers is containing Elisa Kunane. And truthfully, the only way to really contain Elisa Kunane is to get her to foul out. So that's going to be the key. And North Carolina did a great job against her. And that was a lot of credit to Janelle Bailey. So can they guard Kunane? Can they get her to get in foul trouble? And then Clemson has to be very good offensively and put some pressure on NC State by making shots early. That's what North Carolina did. Usby came out and just balled out. She was knocking down threes all over the place. And then NC State had to push and they had to force things. And Kunane was also in foul trouble. So Clemson must get off to a very good start against NC State.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. The last game of our speed round, Kelly, Virginia Tech at Miami, Thursday night, 6 p.m. ACC Network. What are we seeing in this game?
So as we've mentioned, because all these ACC teams are in the top 75, this really wouldn't be technically a bad loss for Virginia Tech. But they need every win they can get because they lost so many games early. But I'll tell you, Mac, the Hokies are one of my favorite teams in the ACC. They're so much fun to watch. Asia Shepherd and Liz Kitley are an excellent duo. They shoot the ball so well. They're a really good offensive team. You have to keep Miami off the three-point line. They love shooting threes in transition. But the key for Tech, get the ball inside to 6'5", Liz Kitley, and let her work. And I have to add this, Mac. There were 10 finalists for the Lisa Leslie Award on the women's side, 10 players nationally for the center of the year. Liz Kitley was not nominated, and I thought that was an atrocity. She is second in the ACC in scoring, and we're not going to put her on that list. I'm just going to put that out there, Mac, because I was a little mad that Liz Kitley was not on that list. We'll see if she's playing with a little more fire in this game. And she should, because she was snubbed.
Listen, ACC or AP poll voters, Lisa Leslie voters, you're on the list.
We're calling you
out. You're on the list for the Gramlich and McLean podcast. Guys, if you haven't heard about our great producer, Richmond Weaver, You should, because we talk about him all the time. Number one, he makes this podcast so much better. If you haven't listened to his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, go check that out on anywhere that you get your podcast. He does a great job, has amazing guests and like hundreds of episodes. Rich is grinding and has some really, really fun stuff. Go check that out. And that's it for Gramlich and McLean, brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger. It is going to be a great week of basketball. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, a little review. It's always fun to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.